Welcome to Deeper Dive. I'm your host, Jay Wald, and this is another weekly podcast brought to you by Plantation STA Church. This is Season 5, Episode 14, and our wonderful co-host, Dawn, is not here today. She's taking care of some other business of school, so we're going to keep her and her family in prayer. I also like to thank all our podcast listeners for taking the time out, as usual, to give us your insights, to listen, to get the Word of God. Today, we have our number two guy, Pastor Kevin Acosta, which I also like to call him Pastor Separates / No Tie. You still like that? That still works?
It's good.
Okay. I appreciate that. I mean, it's a unique title. I don't think nobody has that.
So, oh, yeah.
That's good. And so, once again, we'd like to... thank you for just taking the time out. As always, you can send all your questions and comments. You can text it to 954-388-8780. And as we always do, to start off with a word of prayer, and we'll be on your way. Father God, we thank you once again for the privilege, Lord. The privilege of life ever after. We thank you for your son's ultimate sacrifice on the cross, Lord, that we will have the right to the tree of life. Continue to bless Plantation, the speakers, and this podcast, Lord, so that someone will be blessed anywhere and everywhere. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
All right, my brother. Just got finished having the Connection Sabbath. And
yes, sir.
Your title is, What About Doubt? What brought that on?
I picked this title, this sermon, because I think doubt is something that we all experience at one point or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was a time in my life where I experienced doubt very deeply. You know, I wondered whether this whole thing that we call Christianity was real, and whether this God was really listening, and you know, all these doubts that I'm sure we all have at one point or the other. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to preach a sermon on it, to acknowledge it. I want people to know that it's real, that it happens, and that it's not always such a bad thing.
Amen. Amen. I definitely had those doubts when I was younger. I just, you know, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but we're pretty much a tangent society. We know we need to see things,
mm-hmm.
you know, how people are, you know, and seeing that I don't know and I'll see it when I believe it type stuff. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's understood. So talk to me about the Jenga thing. I'm not too good at that, but I'm horrible at that. So I played it a couple of times.
yeah. I'm actually really good at Jenga.
Yeah, okay.
And I think it's a lot of fun. But, I was thinking of an illustration to kind of depict like what doubt is and what it can be.
Yeah.
And I just thought of a Jenga tower, because what happens is doubts start very small. Nobody mm-hmm. loses their faith in a single day, you know,
mm-hmm.
It crumbles over time. Like, you know, you have a doubt here, you have a doubt there, you have a question here, you have something there, and it builds and it builds. And when you don't address it and you don't acknowledge it and you hide it, eventually it builds up to a point where you just let it go. It crumbles.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The nice thing about the Jenga tower is that it's kind of a 2-for-1 illustration, because in the same way that at the beginning we talked about how doubts can crumble your faith, the same way that a Jenga tower can be rebuilt, you know, block by block, faith is the same way. You know, doing the right things, like praying every day, reading the Bible, you know, asking God to reveal these questions to you, like being intentional about looking and studying towards your doubt, will slowly but surely build your faith back up. So mm-hmm. the same way it goes down is the same way it comes back up.
I like the illustration, because, you know, I used to think, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't play Jenga because I thought it was being embarrassing. You take one and everything crashes. And somebody would say, like, wow, that's your life story. And I'm like, really? And then I crash the whole thing and walk away. So that's why probably why I didn't play it. But that's okay. I know it happens. That happens. It does. But thank you for that illustration. So here we are in March 9, 14 to 29. Here we are. We got the issue with the Mount of Transfiguration you mentioned.
Right.
And here we got the three that went up, the favorite three that went up with Jesus. And you had mentioned that why you mentioned that this bothered you. Why did it bother you? This story.
Yeah, it bothered me because as somebody who was doubting a lot at the time, it felt like an excuse. It felt like Jesus had said that they couldn't do it because they just didn't pray enough or whatever. And to me, that felt like a cop out. It was like, what do you mean? These guys have been following you forever. And now you just say, oh, no, it's you just didn't pray hard enough. And it reminded me a lot of when, you know, something bad happens in our lives and people say, oh, well, you didn't pray hard enough, you know, or else God would have intervened. Mm-hmm. And it gave me, you know, flashbacks to those kinds of situations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was like, oh, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, you know how the sermon went. And yeah, I'm at peace with it now. Thank God.
Amen. So here we got now. While the three were up, here comes the gentleman with the demon-possessed boy. And at that time, they're thinking, you know, hey, why couldn't we cast out this demon? And you know, what you were saying is the fact that it's funny that the fact that you said it was two groups of people. You had the father and the disciples. And the fact that the disciples were arguing about, I guess, entitlement, you know, like who's going to be the greatest? I don't understand why would he do that at that time?
Yeah.
Really
Why the disciples would be arguing at that time?
Yeah, why would, I mean, at that time, they, you know, because it would, I mean, I guess maybe they also were jealous because the three went up to the Mount of Transfiguration as well. You think that has something to do with it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was the root of it. I think that, and I hadn't really seen this before, but I think it explains a lot of why that was the case, because Jesus goes up into the mount and he decides, all right, I'm taking you, you, and you. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of them are left down there like, wow, I guess we weren't good enough. You know, I guess he has a favorite. And they were so upset about that, that it clouded them from being able to do any sort of work for the Lord, because they were angry, not just at themselves, but they were angry at God. They were upset at Jesus because they probably felt unappreciated, you know, or maybe, you know, like there was some kind of favoritism.
Yeah.
And we see that because later on in the chapter, just like, what, like three verses down after that?
Sure enough,
the disciples had been arguing along the road. And eventually Jesus found and asked them. So it wasn't like someone brought it up and Jesus said it right there. They had been arguing. And then Jesus turned and said, okay, what are you guys talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was.
That's funny. Now, of course, you know how the story went. The father said that he wanted him to change his unbelief of that. And of course, you know what Christ did after that, which thank goodness for that. But you mentioned about theological or emotional. You said sometimes it's possible that you just may need counseling. Why is that?
Oh, yeah. I felt like that was an important point because I think that there's a mentality that everything is a theological problem. Like if you just knew the right verses, if you just believed the right thing, then nothing would ever bother you and you would never be upset and you would never have problems. And I think that's unrealistic, especially living in the world that we live in today, a sinful world, because even Jesus, who was the Son of God, even he wept when Lazarus died. So if Jesus can feel emotion to such a degree that he cries over his man's death, even though Jesus himself knew that he was going to raise Lazarus.
Yes. Right?
Jesus knew that. Jesus said, in an hour or so, I'm going to raise this man. But he still cried. Mm. And we don't show ourselves that same kind of consideration. Mm-hmm. And I think that has a lot to do with our doubts. So many times, our doubting of God is not so much a informational, theological issue. Mm-hmm. It is an emotional issue. Maybe we have been abused by someone in the church. Maybe we have had someone set a bad example for us. Maybe, you know, I don't know, the myriad of things. We could have experienced loss or whatever. And that might be the reason why we're having trouble putting our faith in God. And it's not because of, you know, some kind of insufficiency in the Bible. Rather, it's just a result of our own experience, which is why I believe that in counseling, in a place mm-hmm. where we're able to speak with a professional, someone who can, and of course, when I recommend counseling, I recommend biblical counseling, because that it can be very different things. But, you know, a good biblical counseling professional, a psychologist who's Bible-based, like, you can work out those issues, right? You can get over your traumas, you can get over your grief, those kind mm-hmm. of things. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, suddenly that weight that you're feeling alleviates. And you found that the problem wasn't even a theological issue. It was a matter of just emotion.
Yes. You know, I liked about it, you made it plain at church. You was like, look, I'm only 24. I'm not married. Please don't come to me. I love that part.
Yeah, man. You know, you gotta do that, man, because let me just say this for whoever's listening to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Adventist pastors, unless they are qualified, like unless they tell you I have a degree in counseling or I have a degree in whatever,
mm-hmm.
we are not professionals in counseling. We have some basic training, mm-hmm. and we can help you through some basic things. We can bring you to the Bible and maybe give you advice from there. But if someone has a very serious psychological problem, such as, like, you know, some kind of grief or trauma or depression, you know, some medical issues, go to a professional, right? Mm. Suicidal thoughts, things like that. Go to a professional. You can always call your pastor. The pastor can help you alongside the professional, but always go to a professional. Don't shy away from counseling.
I totally understood that. Well, like I said, you made yourself clear.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah. 30 calls during the week, right? Like,
all you do is just go back. Just go back and tell him, listen to my sermon. Yeah, that was a good one. So let's talk about some doubters now. You mentioned, you know, of course, you know, you think about Peter, you think about Abraham, you know, how, of course, that changed for the better. But you said there was one that stood out, which was Elijah, Mount Carmel demonstration. Yeah, talk about that a little bit.
Well, the idea of those guys that I brought up, that would be Elijah, Habakkuk, Job.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of them is that these are examples of people in the Bible who went through a faith crisis, or maybe not a faith crisis, but they went through doubts. There was a moment where they felt like their ministry was either ineffectual or what they were doing was not enough. Like, and we see that very plainly in Elijah when he says, I have been zealous for the Lord ever since my youth. Mm-hmm. And yet everyone that I was supposed to minister to is dead, and I alone remain. Mm-hmm. And in the verses that I used in the sermon, it didn't say that, but earlier it had said how Elijah wanted to die. Elijah wanted to die. He asked God to kill him. So that's how deep in the hole Elijah was.
I don't understand, after seeing this great miracle, this coming from, how could you doubt?
Right?
Right. Yeah.
But isn't that what's so good about the story? That happens so often in our lives. Like, mm-hmm. God could have pulled through for us in such a major way. We say, wow, God is real. God just came through. He just like saved me from, I don't know, starvation or whatever. Mm-hmm. And 2 days later, we're like, oh, is God even listening? Like, you know, what is he doing? Like 2 days later. And it's the same with Elijah. It's the same thing happened. We're not alone in this. And then, of course, the idea is that God was able to speak to Elijah. Yeah. And instead of leaving him in his despair, he gives Elijah some perspective that he lacked, that was able to cheer him up and bring him on his way.
Thank goodness for that, because, I mean, after seeing all that, and he's the number one cheerleader for God, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I think about the children of Israel. I mean, there were some major doubters there, you know, after seeing all the stuff that he did for them from when they left Egypt.
Yeah.
I consider them number one doubters. And I consider them, you know, a lot of us are like that. A lot of us are like that. You know, you see all this stuff at hand. I guess if it doesn't continue, then you start saying what happened to it.
Which is why it puzzles me when people tell me things like, oh, if God performed a miracle right now, I would have believed. And it's like, man, people who already believe in God don't believe after a miracle. Like, much less you. Elijah saw a fire tornado come down from the sky, and he started doubting God. Like, there's nothing, all right? This idea that we can't believe in God because he doesn't do all these crazy things is nonsense, because he did do crazy things throughout history. He still does today.
Yes.
And people still doubt. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what is the, you know, that's not a good argument, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it gives credence to my argument that a lot of times doubt is an emotional root, because a lot of the times I think people doubt is not for lack of proof. It's just because their situation is so dire, they feel compelled to doubt.
Ah, I got you. That kind of points me to Job. His is really dire.
Yeah.
His is really, really dire. You know, you got your wife, your relative, your friends, your educated friends coming to tell you, you know, but yet still, he's still alone.
And Job is a great example of a situation where doubting might even be, like, you know, almost understandable, you know, like, how much he went through. And I think that that should speak to us as Christians to have sympathy for people that are doubting, for people that are going through tough times. Like, we cannot berate people with the Bible. We can't be Bible thumpers who are bashing, you know, the words of God in people's heads over and over, not allowing them to feel, not being sympathetic, because that's what George's friend, oh my gosh, that's what Job's friends were doing, right?
Yeah, and they pretty much were.
God scolds them for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, we learn from that.
We should. We actually should. I mean, you know, there was a part of, I help me if you can, was it Habakkuk 3:17? You remember that?
Habakkuk.
Yeah.
Which one? Which verse? Because I said three.
Is that the one with the tree, I think?
Is that the one? Yeah, although the olive tree might
not be different. I like that.
Those are the last verses of Habakkuk, and it's been hard for me to memorize.
Yeah, I understood.
Because it's like, it's so full of stuff, but it is my favorite couple of verses in the Bible. But it's something like, though the fig tree may not blossom, or the fruit be on the vines, or like the produce of the olive might fail, you know, I will have faith in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Just like you've said, if you're in the bank, you got nothing, you got nothing. You just have nothing, you know, but you have to steal. And you mentioned one more in Jude.
Yes, that one was simple. That one was the have empathy for those who doubt.
Okay. I think that should be an everyday model 22. For us.
Jude 22.
Yeah, I think that's an everyday model we need to have, honest and truly, for that.
Yeah.
And the last thing I wanted to mention to you, we're talking about the reason why the disciples didn't have the actual faith they needed, is that pretty much they didn't have the continual prayer life. It was
yes.
It's the reason that, you know, speak a little bit more about that.
Yes. I don't know if I'd say that the disciples didn't have a continual lifestyle of prayer.
I think I shouldn't have said it that way. I probably did at that moment.
At that moment, they were just so upset about things that it might have caused them to kind of slip a little.
Yeah.
But what Jesus was saying with that last verse, which I think is 29, if I'm not wrong.
I think 20, was, 29.
Yeah. That he was saying that the Bible, or rather to get rid of this kind of demon, it takes continual prayer. It takes takes time in the presence of God. Some versions say prayer and fasting. However, the earliest manuscripts of the book of Mark do not include fasting. So that's why I picked a version that left it out. Because the earliest manuscripts do not include that. So, you know, we're led to believe that it's probably not the case. But whatever it is, the idea is it takes a life of dedication. It takes time. Like, it could very well have been that, like, for Jesus, because Jesus is the Son of God, he can come in, he can cast out that demon instantly. That maybe for some of us, maybe we would have to pray with that boy for a long time before that demon come out. And maybe we would have to battle this demon for a bit before that demon can come. And of course, the analogy is that in our own life, with our own doubts and our own problems, sometimes that's what it takes. We can't, you know, we shouldn't expect that everything is just instantly given to us, you know?
Yeah.
Some things do take prayer. Some things do take time. And it some challenges we can only get through with a built-up faith.
Amen. I guess it's like the Jenga, huh?
Precisely.
Jenga, should I say. Yeah. Yeah, that I think that was that. And then you end it when you talk about it. So of course, everybody knows it's better to obey than to sacrifice.
Yeah, that was 1 Samuel. I forget the last two references. But yeah, so 1 Samuel. It was Samuel himself who spoke up, and he tells the people of Israel, "Is it not? Does God take more pleasure in sacrifices than in obedience? Of course not."
Yeah,
and it's the same thing. You know, it's a modern day sacrifice would be just going to church. You know, like if you're just going to church, it's like, yeah, I'm sorry, but that's not really what God wants. I mean, I'm not gonna say no to people going to church, but what God is looking for is deeper than just church.
Yes. It's all relational.
Yeah.
It's all relational. And that's how, I think that's how we will be able to do the things we need to do in Jesus' name. Having that devotional life for that. Thank you, my brother. I really appreciate the time. And I guess what I do is I build the courage up and I'll play Jenga with you, see how good you really are.
Yeah, I mean, one of these Saturdays, maybe we should bring a whole Jenga set to church and have a competition.
Yeah, don't pick me first, okay? Don't pick me first, because it's all going to come down. Yeah, I just wanted to see. I like to see it when they get it, because it really gets pretty interesting, and people get really involved in it. So
yeah, it gets really tense. I think during the picnic, they had like giant Jenga. That's where that's where I was playing it.
Okay. Well, brother, I thank you as always taking the time out, and appreciate your message about doubt and being doubters, even though we're seeing things firsthand from God. But it deals with an active prayer life where we cannot have to be doubters. You know, we can just be assured of His word. So, as always, lead us out in a word of prayer. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. God, we're thankful that you are able to understand us and help us with our doubts when we have them. We know that you're a merciful God, a loving God, who desires us to be with you and to have faith in you. And even though we all have challenges in our lives, it's amazing to see how you are able to pull through for us and acknowledge our doubts. With that in mind, Lord, I want you to bless every listener, every hearer of the sermon. I want you to bless these podcast hosts and this crew that works so hard to make this possible for us. And I ask that you empower us to be able to walk through these trials that we have in our lives confidently, holding up your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Costa, thank you so much. I hope you have a rest of the week. God willing, I'll see you this Sabbath. And I hope that you have a wonderful evening. And take care of your dog.
Yes, sir. Oh, boy.
All right, my brother.
Yeah.